Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We're in beautiful Burbank.
Burbank.
The denim-clad home of Mr. Jay Leno. And Karen Kilgariff.
And Karen Kilgariff, of
also
all people.
Also wears a lot of denim, but only on her legs.
Only the one pair.
Only one. Not the other pair being a shirt. I don't know why it's called a pair of shirts.
What if I saw Jay Leno and he was wearing a shirt made of my boot cut jeans?
God, I'm so glad you didn't say skin.
And then, you're the one that saw him and then you had to avenge my murder. Because it's like a shirt, but then my face is on the back and you're like, is that like a stitched thing of Karen's face? No, it's her actual face.
When I first see it, I'm like, that skin looks familiar. And then he turns around and your face is just part of the shirt. And I'm like, I knew it was exactly Karen's skin.
My irises are all white.
Damn right I'd avenge him. I might avenge him if he's not wearing your... I might avenge your... just you as a person, whether or not he's wearing your skin. Just when I see him, I'll punch him for you.
On my behest?
Yeah.
Thank you. That'd be perfect for me.
On your behest, I'll kick his beach chest. Oh, good start.
No, this is one of the strongers.
It is one of the strongers. What do we have to talk about? Last week, got a lot of Twitter, not complaints, just notifications.
Just heat and buzz.
Yes, heat and buzz and accolades, but also some comments that maybe the volume was a bit low. And
yes.
I think I've figured out the problem. It was an uploading problem. I had a setting that was off. I think I'll also figure out this Stitcher thing that people are missing.
Yes.
It being on Stitcher ever since Chip Pope episode whatever. But I did find out, and guess what, Karen?
What's that, Chris?
We're about to have a sponsor commercial.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to go into it subtly and conversationally, but why beat around the bush?
No, why not announce the hell out of it?
Downcast is a podcast player app that lets you easily find, listen, and subscribe to all your favorite podcasts all in one place, which is cool because you can search by genre or keyword like our names, and it just comes up instantly. Or if you type in, do you, the first thing that comes up is a podcast called Do You Like Prince Movies, which isn't us.
The great actor, Prince.
Or young ruler, young sons of kings.
Oh, yeah. Prince Harry's in that one movie?
Yes. Uh-huh. Podcast about Prince Harry.
Was he in Love Actually? Is it a podcast that's about Love Actually?
Oh, God. I'd actually listen to that.
Actually, I'd love that.
I would listen to anything. Notting Hill, a whole series, 12 episodes, I'd listen.
I have seen Notting Hill.
If that thing we just went on with Hugh Grant, if you didn't like that, with Downcast, you can skip ahead with it.
Don't skip through that awesome riff.
Are you impatient? Are you an impatient asshole? Skip ahead a few minutes or seconds. You're able to do that with Downcast. Distracted? Did you miss something? You're at work, your boss comes in. Where's the finance report? Whatever. Skip back. Listen to something you missed. It's just like having it on an iPod. It's harder with the other ones because you have to slide the thing.
That's right.
And you don't know where you're at,
mm-hmm.
like with SoundCloud. And, you know, I guess that's...
Oh, is there anything else?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. it syncs podcasts across all your devices, supports audio, video, and enhances podcasts. That's a text from Henry Phillips, past guest. It allows you to stream or download episodes, your choice. All you have to do is go to downcast.fm. Downcast. Just downcast, one word, .fm/ride. /ride. And then and get the downcast.
Nice. That sounds good. I could use all of those things.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an easier, another way to listen. So maybe that can replace things for all you Stitcher people out there. Downcast sounds better. So there you go.
I just think that we need our lives to be easier because everything is so hard all the time.
As we become a more popular vehicle broadcast, I think that all we'll be doing is telling people about things that make your lives easier.
Yeah.
From bedding to... to apps that help with podcasts to, who knows, dish soap? Who knows what's next?
What about Gamblers Anonymous? We could start doing commercials for that.
Just bettering your lives. Are you in a rut emotionally? Maybe we'll get sponsored by some kind of therapist.
How about download Dr. Phil's new app, Emotion? Whoops. How about the app that helps you end bits or actually say jokes?
Oh, I wish I had that app.
Yeah,
that
I need
come
it.
In so handy.
I really need it.
Just log on to it in the middle of a comedy concert.
And it's just like Jake and the Fat Man.
That's all you have to do.
That's all you got to do is yell it out.
End it with referencing something all Family Guy style. And download the app. I haven't experienced .. since that weekend with Gary Coleman
at
the
bathhouse. Seen on a TV and shared.
Yeah, and then that plays out, and that's how you end a joke on that horrible show, Family Guy. Sorry. Family Guy, colon, we're no Simpsons.
Family Guy, colon, we're a colon.
Family Guy, colon, is where shit comes from.
Just like us.
Wow, look at that guy. He's a time-traveling Grand Prix.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah, it is kind of rad.
Oh, he lives in there. That's why it looks so cool, is because he's his home.
I thought maybe it was a flux capacitor in the trunk, but it was a selection of his dried socks.
And Christopher Lloyd's body.
Just the skin.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to make me a jacket.
Out your face.
Yeah, Jim from Taxi's face is going to be on the back of my coat.
We might need to start a line of coats with people's faces on the back.
That would be amazing, where it's just a silicone mask of their face.
Yeah, but it's kind of sewn in a way that looks like it's their face skin as the back of the jacket.
Thank you.
Oh my
goodness, you're the dumbest. Wow. We almost wrecked.
That was weird because he was looking right at us.
Yeah, yeah. That was just an asshole move. He seemed like
he was just going to kind of gun it in front of us.
He was just like a bitter... He just did a set at Flappers. He was pulling out of the Flappers alley. It's like 25 years of this shit.
He's like, I referenced Jake and the Fat Man and nothing happened. Okay.
My whole Mr. Burns giving Smithers a blowjob bit got nothing. It used to get standing ovation. I'm going to move back to Canada.
Oh, wait. Here's Kathy Ladman.
That's who we're picking up. That is her.
Yep. Look at her.
Hi there. Yay.
Yay. Is everything clear? And
I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the legendary comedian Kathy Ladman getting into the car with us right now.
She is about to get in.
Hi.
Hi there, Kathy.
Right off the bat. Jeez.
Hi, it's good to see you again.
It's so hot.
I see you like a million years ago.
Yeah, we...
I have to pick up my mic, don't I?
Would you please?
Yes, hold on.
There it is.
I have to strap in.
Yeah. I had to point directly at it.
Kathy, do you have dogs? Is that how you immediately knew what the sheet was about?
I don't have... I have one shedder, but I never bought... I have a leather seat, so
I didn't realize.
11, 12-year-old car.
We knew you were in the know because a lot of people get in, see the sheet, and think that they're going to be murdered.
Right, exactly.
Like, you've laid out a sheet.
Silly, you need plastic. Right? By the way, I'm wearing my podcast makeup.
Oh, let's see.
No, just kidding. It's for, you know. You know what I was thinking about that expression? have to put my face on? I mean, I know it's a very old expression, but isn't that the most hideous expression?
We were just really? Talking about faces being affixed to the back of jackets.
That's very weird.
It's very strange.
You just tapped in.
What do you mean faces being affixed to the back of jackets?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
What we were talking about made no sense, and you came in and brought logic and realism to the whole conversation.
We were talking about what if you ran into Jay Leno and he was wearing a jacket. And basically, it was what if he had a jacket that had my face on the back of it?
Your face?
My actual, and then we were joking, actual face with the skin and everything.
Oh, that's some jacket.
It's a horrible jacket.
Wow, it is.
But we
Peter
were,
wouldn't like that.
That whole conversation made no sense until you got in the car.
Oh, but I just have it, you know, I don't know if you want to get into this, but Carly Fiorina's face.
Oh
my God.
Who is this? I don't know who this is.
Carly Fiorina?
She's running for president on the Republican
side.
Oh, of course. I just watched her during the...
Oh, there's your coffee cafe.
Oh, thank you. And you're so nice.
All your
like fixes.
Yeah.
I'm like Einstein. I have to go into my lab right now.
I knew nothing about her. What do you guys know
she's
about
the one
her?
I have to put down my mic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. She's got to make her coffee. Basically, I'll recap because you were on the road with Todd Barry.
Yes.
The Republican
we
debate
watched it
happened.
Before the show.
Oh, she's the woman in the blue jacket.
Sure, sure. Standing in front of an abandoned Air Force One airplane.
Don't make any sudden moves.
Wait, okay.
Let me just drink some first.
Ugh. We're just going to roll very gently.
I'm going to drink some first without any sweet in it.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm
going to
drink some first without any sugar in it.
What's that going to be like?
It'll be what I wish I liked. You know, if I had grown up in the Depression like my parents, I would have had to learn to live without sugar.
Right.
Yeah, they can go without.
You'll have no sugar and you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
That era.
This Christmas.
I remember having sugarless rhubarb pie.
That's right.
Oh, what a treat.
And we were lucky to have it.
I was so lucky to have 8 full slices of that pie.
Oh, my God, sugarless rhubarb.
It's just, and if there wasn't rhubarb... rhubarb pie. It was salted celery pie.
Oh my God!
No, are you?
No, I just that's what rhubarb is to me is a salty celery.
It sounds like you knew a recipe from the Depression of like we'd get by eating salted celery pie.
Yeah.
I'm still fixing my coffee. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's
so
okay.
She brought her own whipped cream.
There's a mic on top, so we're picking up.
She's steaming it. Italiano style.
Oh, it's getting very Michael Winslowian in the back.
Just so you know, Kathy,
yes.
They ran out of whole milk.
Oh, so what'd you put in?
That's 2%.
Oh, that's not bad.
Okay. That's I just said, bad. Give me the closest you have.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, the worst is in coffee is skim milk.
What is the percentage?
It's like death and it tastes like death, too.
Is what? Whole milk, what is the percentage?
4%.
Four, okay. No one ever, because I thought it just jumped from 100%.
Right.
I know, I did too, actually.
That's a stick of butter. 100% is a stick of butter.
That would be, oh yeah, that's like bulletproof coffee. Have you ever had that?
When I was a kid in the Depression era, when we had a bowl of cereal, oftentimes my mother would put melted butter in there when we didn't have milk.
It's very rich, but we were lucky to have it.
We were lucky to have the gout it gave us.
We were poor, but our cereal was rich.
Chris, you look good for having been through the Depression.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, lotion mostly.
That's right.
And butter.
Yeah. I use Trader Joe's lotion on my face. That's how I stay with it.
I don't buy it. I just do it there in the aisle.
Just lather up.
It's much cheaper.
We, speaking of Depression era, we met on Venice Beach. We did a show at a retirement home.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Yeah, and...
Oh, my God.
How was that?
It was oddly fun.
It was fun.
It was scary, but...
It was frightening.
I just remember... Hey, all you beach betties.
That's right. Oh, my God.
You've been riding the surf all day?
I can't even remember if I enjoyed...
That?
They were right on the beach. Yeah. I knew I wasn't... My jokes weren't going to hit home with them, so I just wanted to remind them of an old lover from the 50s or something. I remember.
Oh, yes.
Sarcastic Nert Burfler. We used to...
Burfler.
We used to square dance.
He was a good man.
But I don't know whatever happened.
You know, this is... So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I interrupted you.
No, it's okay.
This
we
is a
did
very expensive podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if it was in the 70s, it would have been easier. But, you know, now that...
You mean with gas prices?
Yeah, gas prices.
What with what they are? Except for I never drive anywhere else, really.
Oh, this is it? This
kinda, is yeah.
Whoa!
This is the big...
lucky there was a lid on that.
My dad said he had, maybe he didn't, but his friend had a record player in his GTO in the 60s.
Really? Oh, I've seen those.
Are you serious?
They pull out and you put vinyl down.
Yes.
And somehow it didn't skip.
I think they were
45
players. I don't think it was a full record.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it was this weird thing that like pulled out like a drawer down here. You can find it online, pictures of it. It's hilarious.
I just saw a friend of mine posted on Facebook that they now have laser players that you can use for your LPs.
Oh, wow. Like laser disc?
No, a laser will... I don't know the technology, but a laser will play. You put it, you slide it in. It's a turntable, but you slide it in, and maybe it doesn't turn. I don't even know. But it's laser. It's a laser, not a needle.
To play your old records, though?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. I mean,
oh,
costs like $1 million.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Also, I bet it sounds good.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going back to vinyl now.
Well, who is?
Me and all my friends.
Oh, really?
Well,
I still have some albums in New York.
Something has to happen because CDs now are just drink coasters when it comes to trying to sell them. I just hand out my CDs at the end of a show.
Know.
I'm not a great salesman anyway. I used to hand them out even when CDs were all the
really?
Rave.
But yeah, now they don't even, like, when I had my album made, it was either MP3s or it was vinyl. They're
wow.
like, Thing Records doesn't even put out CDs
right.
because nobody
they
buys
don't?
Them anymore.
Because yeah. everybody downloads stuff.
Downloads or
yeah.
people are going back to vinyl because the sound is so good.
People are going back to vinyl?
Yeah, it's for real.
So,
wow, I'm so
the physical copy is a vinyl, but what most people are going to rely on is what comes along with that is a MP3 download.
Right.
Yeah,
because right.
you usually get both, but then...
That's what I'll do.
Really? Nobody, Special Thing, is not putting out CDs anymore?
No, because they just don't sell.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
And cassettes are coming back.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
they
God.
Say. That might be a very hipstery thing, though. I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Yeah, that's not even a good idea. But
well,
I can
know,
bring back all that material I had about rewinding them with a pencil.
Oh,
I used to have a pencil.
How many minutes is that?
What'll that eat up?
I know. It sounds 15 minutes sounds long for a closer.
No,
but
not
oh
at all.
Man,
not if you're doing a 3-hour set.
Is that what you're doing tonight, Kathy, at the old Flappers Burbank?
I'm doing 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
you know why? Because it's their birthday weekend,
mm.
so they're having a bunch of people come in. Everybody, the whole audience can get in for free
mm-hmm.
over
oh.
the weekend, which scares me, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
It really does. There's a lot of riffraff going to come through that door.
That's right.
Shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Once again, the lid. The, oh,
did it come
the
off?
Lid, no, it didn't, but it did leak through. Oh, shit.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry.
Is Kathy, look at this car.
Did it land on the sheet?
It's were there napkins back there?
No, I have some napkins.
Okay.
And
did it get on you?
I'm blotting it. No, it did not get on me.
Okay, good.
But I'm blotting it.
Please don't worry about that dirty dog sheets.
Oh, but I don't think... But it might have gotten into the upholstery then.
Yes.
And
then, the upholstery is filled with dog hair.
Really,
when
really
she
wet.
Says dirty
no,
dog
it's,
sheet.
It's totally fine.
All right, now I have to hold on to this cup. Like, with,
and there's also
the
a place
life.
Right here if you
yes,
need to put it down.
That's true.
All right, so please don't worry. But let's
yes.
really focus on your comedy. That's what we're
oh,
here.
Oh, all right.
I mean.
I don't know. However you want to run your show, go ahead. I'm your guest. I'll be here for you. I'm at your service.
When you have to do 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
do you just do joke and get the H out of there?
Well, you know, there's this one new bit that I'm working on that I actually did the other night when I was working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have the button for it, so I'm going to do that tonight.
Can we hear it?
It's the one about, like, when I say, would it be awkward if I just started crying right now?
Yes.
And then
she
and
told me about.
Yeah,
Karen
it's
told
about,
me.
It's a brand new piece.
Karen,
I remember
it.
When I thought of it. I thought of it when I was walking on the beach in Carlsbad.
Oh.
I was working down there, and I just thought, because I really wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm like one of those people. I let my feelings out there. Perhaps to my disservice, but that's the way I choose to live.
It's a good. It's good to live open-heartedly.
I think so.
I think so.
But
too.
A lot of it scares a lot of people.
Sure.
And so the basic premise of the bit is that you know, the only appropriate answer in our society to the question, how are you, is fine.
Right.
Anything else, no one wants to hear. So then I kind of go through, like, what that would be like if I really, you know, told everybody how I was really feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that are really upsetting me today that I'll, you know, the great thing about this bit is that I can do, it always changes all those things, how I'm feeling. You know,
right.
It's not, it can just be whatever happened that day.
Yeah.
But I have to say that it scares me a little bit because it does tip my hand quite a bit. And it's a vulnerable place. And I don't want it to be like a hacky bit.
Right.
I want it to be really open-hearted, as you say. So,
well, that,
you know.
I love it when a joke has that moment in it where it has built-in
presence, sort of,
and riffing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you mm-hmm. can change it every time mm-hmm. according to something that happened that day.
Yes, yeah, so
and
you're that thinking helps it on stage,
right? And that also helps it stay fresh for you.
Yeah. I try. That's always been a goal of mine. But then sometimes I'll have a boring day, and so it makes that joke flop. Because I used a bad example.
Whatever. It can't always be there.
No.
You know, it really can't. But then, I'm going to do that, and then I'll just, I'm getting a little tired of my opening. You know, I've had the same opening for so long that I do.
Isn't that the hardest thing to replace?
Yes.
Your opening
the
joke?
The hardest thing. And I remember when I started doing late night TV spots, you know, you have to come up with so many openings.
Right.
And, that is very hard, and they're not, you know, not everyone is going to be as great as the other, but I think it's the most important thing because
it really is.
You know, it's like, you know, I really generally hate saying, how are you? You know, I hate saying to the artist, so how's everyone doing?
Yeah.
I used to love when Margaret Smith used to say, I was backstage, I heard you all sound really good, and that's what sets you and me apart.
I've always had trouble with that, and then I'm like, well, of course, it'll take people 5 minutes to like me because I don't say how's everyone doing. But when I did Conan, that JP guy said, I know this isn't your style, but go out there and say, hey, how's everyone doing? That's what they're used to hearing, and if you really don't like how that goes, we can cut it out.
Well, but it can sort of sometimes with an audience like that, it gives them time to sort of focus.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's not. It's like, oh, good, he's going to start now because he just said that.
It is.
You know, they might lose the first joke.
Sure.
Maybe.
Well, and also they might think if you went right into talking, like right into saying your joke, that looks nervous. I would think that a person like that was nervous because it's like you're not even acknowledging where you are.
Right.
You have to kind of, well, for TV anyway. Kind
yeah,
of
I mean,
that.
I always say hi. I always say hello to them. I always say hello to them.
Individually?
That would be really great because then I could eat up like a lot of time.
Just
do it.
Go up.
You can have that, Cappy.
That
would be
into the
so
crowd.
Great.
Dance like Ellen a little bit. Get them to do the wave.
You could do that in the bit. Like you could be explaining how you everyone has to say fine and then start asking people how they are in the audience.
Yes. That's such a great idea.
Because then they...
Nobody's going to book me, of course. But it's a great
she
idea in our heads.
She does a lot of crowd work. It's mostly conversation.
I was wondering, like, well, Jimmy Brogan, when he did late night shows, he couldn't do crowd work. He couldn't on The Tonight Show. He couldn't do, like, his usual stuff. He had to do jokes.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you have to, at a certain point on TV, it's like a whole different animal. That's why it was, like, always when I would run my set, around town, whenever it bombed, it was like always a good sign. It's great. Oh, that's great. It's bombing in the clubs. That's excellent.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, because you're not acknowledging the live audience.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through your jokes, and because you want to remember what's next and what's next and what's next, and because you're acting as if you're doing it on TV, but there are live people there, it's different. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Either the studio audience is live, they don't expect you to interact with them the way
no.
a club audience does.
I think they'd be uncomfortable if you did. Like, no, you're supposed to be doing your thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I always wanted to do with stand-up. When I first watched comics, and like a lot of people didn't realize that they were saying scripted material. Like when you first see comedy, and I was young, but I thought, oh, that guy, every time he just comes up and thinks of funny things. And
it's
so disappointing when you see that first comic do their set again.
And then again,
And then again. And
but then you start to respect that as a craft.
Yes.
You know?
It took me a while, but now, like you said, finding ways to keep it fresh to you is the trick.
I mean, there are times when I'm doing, like, I'm on stage and I'm doing a bit and it's like, oh, God. I want to get through this one.
I should.
But I really I'm tired of doing this. I'm thinking, ugh, I'm tired of doing this. So I have to find, like, I have to, like, almost, like, infuse energy artificially.
Yeah.
So that I don't, you know, make them go to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there was something I was just going to ask you and now I forget. Damn it.
Do you...
Oh, I know what it is. You know, like, when I'm doing two, like, long sets, if I'm headlining, I'm doing two long sets, and somebody from the audience says, so, are you going to do the same show, your second show?
Right.
And part of me gets, like, pissed. And I realize why I'm pissed is because I'm really pissed at myself. Because I wish I had two 45, 50-minute sets, like, A sets like that.
Just unrelated, separate. Yeah.
Who has that?
I don't know. I mean... Maybe. I don't know. Like I don't know.
Jim Gaffigan or someone that has a whole headlining set just about ketchup and other tomato products.
That's true. I love that guy.
Does he?
I mean, that's kind of... You know, different food groups are different hour-long.
You know, I haven't watched a lot of Jim Gaffigan.
Sounds like I'm talking smack about him.
It does, really. A lot. Yeah,
you know
No, what? You're not. He's the best.
I'll stick it to the Gaff man.
He's so funny.
I have to watch him.
He's really enjoyable. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just that his voice, it's like, it really does seem like he's just talking to you.
Right.
Like, in line at Starbucks.
Yes. Right.
It's so casual. And also, he's one of the people that, when I watch him do stand-up, it makes me crazy because I've had the beginning of the thought.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's the one that just goes tick and, like, makes it the funny thing as opposed to just me going, like...
Right, like you observed it and then he figured out where to take it.
I love that feeling of watching another comic and enjoying a joke, but also being frustrated because you feel like your brain was just inches from having thought of it yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, it's the most familiar... I think that guy just stole my joke, actually.
Out of my mind.
He just stole it.
I'm sure there's, like... There is so... How could there not be overlap between... all these people doing stand-up and over the decades?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was just watching... George Carlin, because Kelly just is, you know, doing press for the book, and they're showing some clips, and he was talking about how, you know, all the kids' toys are so safe now, and he does this thing about when he was, you know, when he was a kid, that, you know, the kid who swallowed a bag of marbles didn't grow up to have kids. That it was, you know, it was good. It was like survival of the fittest kind of thing. And I know somebody
in the herd.
Yeah, exactly. And I know somebody. I didn't even set that up properly. I'm sorry, but I hate myself. But I know somebody who does something like that. And I didn't know that piece of Carlin's before. So, and my friend's piece is great. But I mean, it was decades earlier.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah.
So, let's hear who the stealer is.
No, he's not a stealer. He's not a stealer, and I wouldn't even
say. It's the gossip show. So, anyway, here's who I think steals. No. Mm-mm. Just kidding.
I know you are. who steals?
Who steals?
Well, we know the big stealers.
I mean, it's... Some people will surprise... I think sometimes people accidentally steal. Like, they hear something, and then they thought it was in a dream, and they wake up.
For sure. Well, and also, not just stand-up, but, like, I think that's why I avoid watching a lot of comedy, because I know I'll do that. I will memorize things that I love.
Right.
And then it'll come back out, and I'll be like, how did I think of that? And I mean, it's like, yeah, because it's worth it.
That's what Robin Williams, that was his problem.
Right.
He had a hard time remembering what was memory and what was coming out of his own brain.
Yeah.
And if your style is to just grab thoughts from floating in the air above your head, it's going to be someone else's thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I started doing this bit recently that new, you know, for me, It was about Arm & Hammer baking soda. And then my friend told me that Jake Johansson did it. I was like, oh, shit, I feel terrible. Ugh.
But it probably was, that was just coincidence, right?
Well, no, he'd done it. I mean, he'd done it on Letterman.
Oh.
I swear to you, I didn't remember him doing it, but I just thought it was funny that, and I don't know if he did the beginning part of it, but, I mean, it would start by, I would say, you know, being older has its benefits because I have more wisdom now. And one of the things that I've learned in life is that the baking soda in your refrigerator does absolutely nothing.
Right.
That word was refrigerator, by the way. It wasn't refrigerator.
You got a couple pre-show drinks.
Oh, yeah. It's the coffee. But then I followed it up by saying, and then they tell you to pour it down the drain. I mean, you're literally pouring it down the drain. What a scam. And that was the thing that Dylan Brody told me that Jake did.
Oh.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah. Wow. Dirty.
It's
a terrible feeling.
I'd feel silly for it, even me thinking it was an original thought. But I had a joke about Tide talking about getting blood out of clothes.
Yes.
And I'm like, when did Tide start marketing towards murderers? And
right.
Yeah, that's like a classic Seinfeld bit, apparently.
Oh, so right. It's like blood. If blood in your clothes, how does it go? Something
I think
is
he
not
would
your
say,
first.
Who's getting blood in their clothes? And then he said, murderers. Whereas I basically said the exact same thing.
Now maybe he says, clean laundry is not your first priority.
Right.
Like
I think that is what he says.
Yes.
Evading the police should take precedence over
clean shirts.
Your cotton poly. Wait, who am I doing now?
I don't know.
Dracula?
Cheers. Bloodstained shirt.
One of my favorite stories is when the first time Rosie O'Donnell did stand up, she went up and did an entire set of
Seinfelds. That's right.
And
whoa.
She killed, and then she got off stage, and all the comics were like, you just did Seinfeld's material, and she thought that's what you were supposed
to
do.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, those are the funniest ones.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like, she had seen him on TV and was like, just decided that's how you did comedy.
The first time she did stand-up was on TV then?
No.
She saw him on TV and thought, well, his stuff is good, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But I'm just making fun of the fact that you would think even back then you would know better.
One would think so.
She was young. She was like 17 or 18.
She was young in a Kangol hat.
Yeah, but I mean, in a Kangol hat. When did the Kangol hat thing start?
I don't know.
Was it Sam Jackson who started it?
I think it was Sammy Jackson.
Sammy Jackson Jr.? I think.
What a showman.
He's
Chris, where do you live, by the way?
I live in Venice, I think, where you
live. Oh, you live close to me.
Yeah, I'm in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, cool.
Right by the boats, you know.
Oh, my God, you lucky.
Well, I love sailing.
Do you?
No, I'm scared of the ocean, but I swim in it. I frolic.
Oops, hold on.
That's okay. This is the
Karen
portion
puts the mommy
of the
arm
podcast.
You.
Right where Karen feels me up.
It happens every time.
Oh, right.
I do it on purpose so I can just
let me
grab
protect your penis.
It would have been the first thing to go through the windshield.
Chris's groin. All right, everything's fine.
All right. All right, let's clean it up.
Are you, Kathy, do you enjoy doing stand up as much as you did, I don't know, 10 years ago?
Well, let's go. You can go farther back than that. Come on.
15,
I've been doing it 34 years.
Is that true?
Believe it?
That's amazing.
It is amazing. 3-4.
So 25 years ago.
Here's what I still love the craft. I do.
Yeah.
What I've had it with is babysitting the audience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Drunks, stuff like that. I've kind of outgrown a lot of venues, I think.
Yeah.
But I haven't grown into the next level of venue because I can't sell it out, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a little frustrating, but that's why I like some of these rooms that around the city that are not clubs per se.
Right.
But people who really enjoy good comedy go to these places.
Yeah.
And that I love. I really do love it. But my life is different now. You know, I used to be in a club every night.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and that was my social life, too.
Right, yeah.
But now, you know, I have a daughter, and I'm married, and you know, it's just, and I'm doing other things, and I have to get up early in the morning for school, you know, to get my daughter to school. So my, everything's different. My hours are shifted.
Right.
And I, you know, I can't do that. And I don't want to do that either.
Not every
night. I want to hang out in bars.
I'm just getting to the point where I don't want it to be my social life anymore, but I don't know how else to have a social life.
But I don't have a social life.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's what happens.
I mean, I like hanging out with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Yeah, you tried to hang out with non-comedians, it's not easy.
It's hard sometimes. Anybody who's an artist of sorts is interesting to hang out with.
Or who thinks about things. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I don't need funny.
I mean, there are some
around.
Comics that I don't want to hang out with.
For sure.
Let's list them now. Let's get started.
The Steelers.
That book. But, yeah, I mean, that's one thing about the marketing of comedy, I think, that is so unfair as opposed to other entertainment forms. When you go to see music, dance, anything like that, there are subheadings. You want to hear rock music, you want to hear jazz.
I like live music. Let me go to this live music concert.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, literally insane. but if you're going to comedy, it's just comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't understand the nuance and how to program a show. And not every comic is going to like hanging out with every other comic, you know. Ridiculous.
I also find having just recently done a club after not doing one for a really long time, age, I'm just so old, so much older than the young people that want to do
imagine
comedy.
How I feel.
But I mean, it's that, like, what I realized was I was so like, oh, I it's bad that I don't want to do this or whatever. And then I realized, like, well, this is a young man's and woman's game. It really is, like, when you're so obsessed with comedy and you want to be in that club even if you don't have a set, it's a whole lifestyle in that way.
Yeah, and also but hopefully your life broadens as you get older.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be one of those man-childs or woman-childs, you know,
yes.
Who, you know, hasn't evolved in life either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did a show a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you this, Karen, where everybody was like half my age in the audience and on stage, and I had a great time, and it felt like such an accomplishment it's not just a matter of years, it's a matter of sensibility, and these were smart people.
Yeah.
You know, and it...
So my plan for you, Kathy, is that we're going to do Thursday nights. And then
Thursday
you're just
nights?
Gonna th- or like a we'll do oh. like a Monday and a Thursday, and that's when you're gonna have to come into the Hollywood area and do shows.
I could handle two nights a week.
Okay.
Easily.
Well, we're gonna get a schedule going.
Okay. Oh, look, Karen's like mentoring and managing me.
That's funny.
Because when I saw you the other night, I remember when we used to do sets at the Fake Gallery.
Long ago, it
was the best, and there was so no stakes. Like you could kind of do whatever. Oh. And it was so fun, but these crowds need you. Like, they need... Everyone is so similar in a lot of these rooms and at a lot of these shows that it's so great when somebody comes in that's kind of like, hi, everybody, now watch how comedy's done.
Well, similar in what way would you say they are?
Well, it's a lot of dudes that are, like, 32 and wearing a plaid shirt with beard and black frame glasses.
Oh,
I mean, it's a lot of, like...
And what are they talking
just
about?
They're observational... Just, Hollywood.
White guys. Mm-hmm. It's a real white guys game. And it's not, you know, I don't feel alienated or like it's not a complaint. It's just it's so great to have a mix and to have more than just that one perspective. And a lot of producers at shows around town are really good about making sure that they do have at least as much of a variety as they can.
Oh, that's good.
But I think it's just a numbers thing, where it's just like a lot of young dudes.
Right.
So, like, especially you at the end of that show the other night, it was just so great, because it just felt like, I just felt like I could see the real club behind you, even though we were in the weirdest gay bar that was, like,
is that
made
a good
of
thing?
Neon. Yes. It's like real comedy is happening.
But, you know, that made me so. That still makes me nervous when people say you should close. Oh, it always makes me nervous. I have such low self-esteem. Well, Karen and Paige, you should close. Really? Why?
Well, if you're in town, it's just like, you should go last. You should leave the place last.
Yes, it's almost an insult at the other places. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
You should wait the longest. You've paid your dues. You should sit through these other...
Oh, that. Yes, yeah. Okay. Right.
But yeah, when there's three people and you're getting paid, you should always go last, Kathy.
Well, yes. I wasn't getting paid.
No, quite the opposite.
That's maybe what keeps... Well, when I first moved here and I had worked on the road with... And we've talked about him before, Robert Hawkins, but he used to make me laugh.
I don't even know who he is.
He's right, hilarious. Exactly. Like, I
don't know anybody, though.
I don't know where he is now. He's probably...
I think he lives in Texas
Living
now.
In a military town. I don't know. He had a writing job on that Titus show and then would do the road. But when alternative comedy was a genre that I think that phrase has finally gone away. But,
oh, good.
But yeah, I know. But you know, those shows, like at UCB, I was like, you should have Robert Hawkins on. I told Scott Aukerman to. And he killed in a way that other comics couldn't because he had all that experience. He also was an absurdist. He's a bizarre brain, but he also does the road nonstop, and so
he knows exactly how to kill in any room he goes to. Yes, exactly.
See, now I don't know how to kill in any room.
That's not true, because I was telling Chris the thing you did where you were like, why am I talking like this? And then you got like, you're like, I actually talk like this.
Because everybody was shouting, and I think I understood why the acoustics in the room.
Ooh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
We just stalled.
Oh, my God. That's a first for this show.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
We stalled.
Oh, really? It always happens to
Lad. We made it like 55 episodes before I stalled.
Oh, my God. He stalled.
It's always me. It's always. You know, so many times think this will happen in life. Something will occur and people will say, this has never happened before.
Yeah. I find people say that every time I go to a club on the road. This usually, last week it was packed here. I don't know why there's no one here. Well, there's the football game, and also a local preacher is speaking.
I can't compete with the preacher.
Oh, I know. Oh, you mean that audience isn't going to be here because they're all a heavenly cavalry chapel? Oh, nuts.
You lost all the Baptists and most of the Presbyterians.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, you guys, did you hear the... Did you not watch the debate, Chris?
I did. I was about to get on stage, and so I was pacing.
Oh,
right. It was in my hometown, and I was nervous. And I get nervous. I'm a nervous person. Right now.
Oh, you mean you were in Venice?
I was in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, Missoula! You're from Missoula?
I am from Missoula.
I love Missoula.
Oh, have you ever done?
Well,
stand-up
yes.
There?
Here's an interesting story. When I was in 1983 or 84. I was living in New York and doing stand-up, for 2-3 years. And my boyfriend was Steve Middleman. Do you remember Steve Middleman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He had the joke about folding sheets.
Exactly, with no chin, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Pillowcases, yeah. And he had this fan who lived in Montana who owned these Black Angus steakhouses. So he contacted Steve. I think Steve had a Showtime special or something.
Sure.
He contacted Steve, and he said he wanted to... bring him out in August, and he would, play four different cities: Billings,
sure,
Bozeman, Missoula, and Great Falls. And I lived with Steve at the time, and Steve said, "Well, I'd like my girlfriend to come open," and he said, "Sure, that's great." So we did that, and also. We knew a guy who worked for the New York Times, and he thought it was such an interesting thing that we were doing, and he pitched it at the office, and they sent a reporter with us to travel around. And this guy is Bill Geist. Do you remember Bill Geist? William Geist?
Yes.
He used to be on CBS Morning.
Yeah.
Red hair. His son is Willie Geist.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like, so anyway, so Bill traveled around with us, and it was so much fun. It was so much fun, and it was gorgeous. I'd never been to Montana before.
Right, and he was doing a story about what's it like to do stand-up in a state where it's like America 100 years ago.
Well, it was
kind of.
Well, it was just like, traveling with two New York comedians in Montana.
Yeah.
Just a very, very interesting juxtaposition. And I remember, I think it was in Billings, we're doing you know, the steakhouses were not made for comedy. Right. I don't think I have to say that.
Oh, you were doing the Black Angus's?
Yes.
It was a Black Angus tour?
Yeah, just four Black Angus's.
Well, that's what makes the story.
It's
that's
the
terrific.
Perfect story.
Oh, wow.
So in the first place, I believe it was the first place in Billings, and my least favorite city. And,
yeah, me too. I was just there last month, but yes.
So,
not as good as Missoula.
No.
I'll say that, and I'll mean it.
Yes. So, but the way they set up a sort of a quasi stage in some room, and they got a spotlight, you know, one of those giant cans, those long,
like industrial garage,
exactly.
Your dad changing the oil.
Yes, a big giant canister kind of a spotlight, and they put it in a closet, and they left the closet door open so that it would light us on stage. So I'm on stage, and somebody wasn't aware of why the closet door was open. They just slammed the closet door, and I was like in total darkness.
Oh, that's...
It was very funny.
That's terrific.
It was very funny. We had a great time anyway. So you were nervous doing your show in Missoula, you said.
Yeah, my dad and family and friends are there, and I think they've seen... I was doing jokes that I've never done before, because I've been there enough to have burned my material last time I was there, and... But I was just opening for Todd Berry. I wanted them to see Todd Berry. But I was worried about an audience that doesn't get to see stand-up that much.
Right.
Last time I brought him there, which is weird. I bring my own headliner. it was like 6 years ago. And the crowd, they drink a lot in Montana. The crowd got chatty. But I think in general, people are a little more savvy with stand-up.
I think I have to get back there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, we're on our way.
Okay. They got chatty.
They were a great audience this time. They loved great jokes. And when I, just speaking for myself, when a joke that wasn't that good, they were like, that was polite laughter.
Right, but you're really, it sounds like you're harder on yourself than anybody could be.
Oh, I hate myself.
I understand.
I have so much hate.
I mean, not that I hate you, but so I hate myself too.
No, it's too late.
No,
you already said it.
Cat's out of the bag.
I hate myself, and I'll spend it on other people once the right person comes along, but for now, I'm just spending all the hate on myself.
It's you.
Good. Oh,
you
well,
first?
I recommend getting married. Yeah. It kind of grows exponentially. You didn't even know that you could kind of it could build upon its own, it feeds on itself in a way. But I feel guilty that I said that.
Should we edit it out?
It's okay.
He'll never hear it.
Oh, it's okay. He doesn't listen to podcasts. But,
is he a commenter?
Neither do we.
Tom used to be. Tom, I don't have time to listen to things. I really don't. It's how do people have time to listen to all this stuff and watch all this stuff? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I'm too busy being outside, swimming, and
reading books,
going
to the library,
standing on the treadmill wearing roller skates.
You know, I don't read enough books. I have eight books going, and then I read New Yorker articles and New York Times articles. And, you know, and then I read stuff that's posted online. And then, you know, I don't get through a fucking book. It's really annoying. It makes me feel stupid.
I do the same thing because I start the book as I'm in bed.
Right.
And I'll get three pages in.
Right.
That's
well, I don't read books because books make me feel stupid.
Oh.
I think that's why the books are there, to make guys like me look dumb.
Every time I look at my bookcase, I see all the books I want to read, and then... It, like, ramps up my self-loathing.
It makes you feel like a failure to have a bookcase.
Failure.
Well, that sounds like an excuse, and maybe it is, but I am antsy, and I can't sit and relax. And that goes for camping or being next to a lake in a chair. I'm not real good at just sitting there.
Uh-huh.
And that's what reading a book requires.
Right. It's true.
But I do enjoy reading. I enjoy ideas. I like reading aloud to my friends.
Okay.
Showing them the pictures.
This is a good dating profile.
Thank you. And I enjoy walking, and I'm a Scorpio.
Have you ever signed up for a blind dating service? You could read to blind girls.
Oh, that's right. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Reading for the blind date.
I just had deja vu. Is that a thing?
I may have stolen
reading
it
for the
from
blind
somebody.
Is a thing.
I know, but deja vu is also a thing. Well, they happened at the same time.
Wow.
Apparently.
Oh, God, we're folding in on ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is like a movie Inception.
But, you know, I just wanted to say back to you being nervous in your hometown, it's like so interesting how we are often most nervous in front of the people who are supposed to and probably do love us unconditionally.
Right. I don't want to change their minds.
What?
I don't want to change their minds, these people that love me.
Right, but that shouldn't change their
right.
minds.
Right, it wouldn't.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of, I just want to please.
Yeah.
It's weird that I just want to please strangers. What is that
I know,
about?
Well, that's a comics syndrome.
I don't know that it's healthy.
It's a very sad thing.
I don't think it's, well, I think it's also impossible because I never think I do. Even if things go well, I always focus on, like, the one person that
of
had
course.
The look on their face.
Of right. course.
So it's almost like having a fetish for a thing that I, like, an itch I can't scratch.
Exactly.
So
when,
gross.
When I could be having the most fun on stage. If there's one person with their arms crossed up front, I put all my focus on them.
Yeah.
How can I turn this around? At the expense of the rest of the audience.
Sure.
How can I make this asshole happy?
Yeah.
Who didn't even want to leave the house, and he's like, ah, oh, there's goddamn comedy club coupons.
But that's such a common thing amongst comedians because, you know, we are, I mean, the empty hole that it takes to get up in front of strangers and have them laugh.
Yeah,
you know, out of the context of their lives is quite a thing.
It's insanity.
That was a great conclusionary moment.
Yeah. It was
episode.
Now I'm about to do that.
Yeah, now you have to do the thing.
Why
you have to do the?
This
thing.
Was so much fun. I wish I'd rather just drive around with you guys.
Oh, thanks, Kathy.
It was great.
That was really fun. You're good at this.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy.
I have to apologize for the smelly, coffee-soaked sheet in the back.
I'll send you the bill.
Oh, underneath that sheet.
What is it going to be, like $2.75? Something like that.
Oh, my sheet isn't good enough to be stained.
No, I'm saying $2.75 for laundry. I mean, what if it stains and it doesn't come out?
I mean, what if I have to replace it?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, if your dog could just kind of scoot his ass along that. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a small one, like a little beagle mix, and then I have a big one that looks kind of like a yellow lab.
Beagles,
oh, nice.
Butts.
I have two dogs also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's right. You don't see them because you don't go on Facebook.
I had to leave Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I was getting too
Facebook.
Compulsive.
I'll look at your dogs.
Okay, I'm compulsive too.
You can email me pictures
of your
dogs.
Are you on Facebook?
I am.
Are we not friends on Facebook?
We are pals on Facebook.
I'm going to have to make you a close friend, though, because then I'll see your stuff.
Yes.
Oh,
well, and then when we're maybe I can send you a close friend message and figure out how you do that, and I can.
Oh, you just go up. You just go up to. You go to my page, and then it'll show that we're friends, and then you click on that,
and
it'll
close.
Give you an. It says close friends, and you click on that because when you have a lot of people that you are your quote unquote friends. And I'm starting to thin the herd.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's the mistake
this one
I made.
Guy,
I just
I posted
said yes.
today. What's her name? Elizabeth Warren said something wonderful that's been going around about Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
Yeah. The one where she's just like, you people are from the 1800s?
Well, I don't... It was several things. I mean, it was edited, and there were several sections.
Oh, it was an actual speech?
Yeah, she was speaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I posted it, and I said, you got to see this. She is so terrific, and what she's saying is so important. And this one guy who's... this idiot friend, an old friend of a friend, he will not cut him loose. He gets on, he goes, she's mentally ill. And she says, I said, hi, Howard. Of course you're here. And goodbye. And then I went to block him.
Oh, that's the best.
Near me.
That was part of it. But it's that kind of thing.
Of course you're here. And bye.
And goodbye.
Yes. I don't want to know this about you, that this is your reaction to this thing, that we are like that. Diametrically opposed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that to you. I'm like, that's my Facebook thing of like people that start to fight with you.
Right there, we ran out of card space. We were wrapping it up with Kathy, but I just want to explain why it abruptly ended. But that was Do You Need a Ride? With Chris Fairbanks and Karen Kilgariff and our guest, Kathy Ladman. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN. AR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.